We are here to preview the Wednesday's game against Charlotte FC over in Charlotte. We're on a 3-game winning streak, which we're looking pretty good. We're looking pretty good, surprisingly. And we're excited to talk to our guests. We had him on last year. We're bringing him back, Mr. Danny Rams. How are you doing? Where are you? There you are, sir.
Cheers, Daniel. Great to be here. Thank you so much for the invite. Thanks for bringing me back. I guess I didn't make the battered Herons fan world too angry with some of my crazy takes last time. So it's great to be here. Yeah. And man, I'm glad to be here with you, but I'm missing Chris just as much as you are, man. Cause I loved going back and forth with that guy, kind of shooting the breeze a little bit. Him and I had some fun banter, but you and I had some fun banter as well. So it'll be good. We got a big match coming up.
Chris is supposed to be in Charlotte on Wednesday.
Yeah, and it's possible that we might be able to meet up. So I would definitely get some pregame recs for him for sure. Life is good, and it's going to be crazy. I mean, the day before, it's July 3rd, the day before the 4th of July, a lot of stuff's going to be going on. Charlotte is probably better this year than they were this time last year, but Miami's a lot better too. So it's tough to say. You know, I keep looking up and I'm like, shouldn't Miami be falling down the table now that Messi's gone to Copa America? And yet they keep staying up top.
Well, that was the thing, right? Everybody thought Messi's gone for the summer. That's when Miami will fall off and come back to earth.
Sure.
And I'm sure Cincinnati's been feeling that way also because they've been on our tail for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And they don't lose, but we haven't been losing either. So it's been fun to watch.
Since he still got you on points per game. So, you know, I don't know.
They got one game in hand.
They got a late equalizer against us. We should have taken all 3 points from Cincinnati when they came here to Charlotte. And they got we had a stupid, stupid play right at the end of the match that let them equalize and steal a point back. So,
and they did the same thing against Philadelphia just like 2 or 3 weeks ago. In the 100th minute, they scored a goal. So they've been lucking out also. So I'm not too worried about it. We actually played them on Saturday.
Okay, that's a big match. So you guys, Charlotte might benefit if Miami might be overlooking us, you know, looking ahead to that big Cincy.
Right. So hopefully not, because obviously if we lose, we're screwed also because we can't slip up. But they might be thinking ahead because that's a big game on Saturday, and then you guys play Cincinnati the Saturday after.
Yep, and then we do the Cincy double. We do the Ohio double. Excuse me. We do like Cincy on Saturday, Columbus on Wednesday. So yeah, it's not going to be easy. We did beat Columbus when they were here, thanks to an early red card for them. That helped a lot. It's wild, man, to think of where Inter Miami FC was. You talk about your 2-year anniversary. Congratulations, 2 years.
Appreciate that.
That's excellent. You know, Chris, I mean, your husband forgot your anniversary. You know, we hate to see that.
I know he should have made it a point to come on here today.
He owes you flowers or something for sure. But if you think about when you guys started this pod, right? That was way before you had Messi and Miami. I always used to say in that era, I always just joked. I was like, Inter Miami is not even a club; they're just a brand. You know, that was my mantra that I would always say. And how things have changed in 2 years that you guys are looking now at a potential supporter shield. Congratulations and on all the success for sure.
Well, I think what has me in the best of moods is the fact that we've looked good after Messi and Suarez left for Copa America, because before then. Off the top of my head, I can't remember how many games it was. It was 3 or 4 games that Messi didn't play, and we won one of those.
Sure.
And we've lost 2 of them, and we drew maybe 1 or 2 of those. So we didn't feel great. We felt like this team is Messi dependent. And you don't want to be that because he's, what, 37 years old now?
Inter Messi. Right? Yeah.
And I don't blame it. I get it. Look, and I'm okay with it. Some people hate it. I'm okay with it. I know that Messi brought the winning vibes and the fans and all that other stuff. But – I've felt really good after the last 3 games, knowing that we can continue to win even though Messi's gone. Like, how could you not feel good? I mean, Tata has been proving his worth because everybody said anybody could do it with Messi. Like, Tata's a horrible coach. Whenever he doesn't play, Tata loses. But he showed his worth the last 3 games, and it hasn't necessarily been easy opponents either. Like, they've been winning on the road against Columbus, Nashville, against Nashville,
against Columbus. Yeah, exactly. At Philly. It's not easy. Yeah, we went at Philly. Charlotte went at Philly, and it wasn't the result we were looking for. So, and even in your game against Nashville, right? Like that you were up 2-0, and then Mukhtar scores a penalty with like 20 minutes left to play. And you're like, oh shoot, are we going to drop points here again? But they were able to hold on. So, I got to show. I've shown so much hate to Miami in the past, but I'm an honest person, and I can admit when things have changed. And so I just got to show a little love to Miami this time, I guess. You know, I don't know.
You know,
turn over a new leaf. I'm not the same trash talker I used to be, I guess.
We kind of like the hate, though. So
yeah. I'll try to summon some of it back for sure. No doubt. I mean, it is a rivalry podcast here. We got to have some banter for sure. But I got to admit, I'm impressed by Miami because of in the absence of Messi and Suarez, the youngsters are stepping up. Kramashi, Campagna, you know, Gressel is sort of like really taking on a leadership role in Messi's absence. I can't hate too badly on what I see from Miami. And I think that Charlotte can get a win here. I know we'll start to get into the game. I expect Charlotte to win because we're at home. I think we should win at home. We don't give up a lot of goals at home. We give up the fewest goals in the league at home, I believe. So it's not going to be an easy task, but I expect to win. But it's an important match for Charlotte because we're looking good. We had a slip up last match. We dropped from fourth in the table to sixth in the table. Not good. And we need to come in, and a win against Miami would be a statement win for Charlotte for sure.
Well, that game against Houston that you guys just dropped, bro. Houston had like 100% of the possession. Like they were just dominating. Yeah. Is that how you guys usually play? Do you guys usually allow the other team to just hold the ball and then you play the transition? Or how does that work? Because I felt like it was almost by design.
What can I say? It was hot and humid.
It was Houston. It's Houston.
Yeah, it was Houston. I mean, the problem was that they got an early goal and then they just would keep 10 men behind the ball. And I would say Charlotte's not a possession heavy team, but we like to be mostly in balance of possession. We can absorb pressure and we have a very organized defense. That's the one thing that our new manager this year, Dean Smith, has brought to the table is with his Premier League pedigree. He's organized Charlotte, and he was not known as a defensive coach over in England. He was known as sort of like a high flying attacking specialist type of coach. But here in MLS, you don't have to do that much to really step up the defense. And all it took was just organization. Because like a lot of times we were trying to play a really complicated defensive system last year. We had a coach who, Latanzio, who had been very in the Man City sort of mold. And he wanted this thing where, you know, like in possession, you play this position. And out of possession, you play that position. And guys were always getting lost in the transition of moving, like where they were supposed to be with and without the ball. Dean Smith has come in and simplified all that and just said, like, these are my line. And, like, you see it. You'll see our guy. Like, when we lose the ball, everyone just runs straight backwards. They're not all crisscrossing. Like, this guy's trying to go there. That guy's trying to go there and stuff like that. So it's a much better system.
Hammy's asking, where did he coach in the EPL?
What's up, Hammy? Thanks for checking in. Thanks for listening. He coached Aston Villa. He got Aston Villa up from the championship level to the Premier League, and they've stayed there ever since. And then he was fired after a few years and they sort of went on. He coached Jack Grealish and, you know, a lot of those young guys that came up in that Aston Villa team four or five years ago. And then he took over. He got the job at Leicester trying to keep them up and they didn't stay up. They went down. So he got sacked. And then he got the job at Norwich trying to keep them up in the Premier League and they didn't stay up. So he got sacked. So he had two sort of like failures that were really tough jobs. They were really sort of hopeless cases and they just brought him in to try to see if he could do it. So he got relegated twice after he left Aston Villa, but his son plays here for Greenville in USL, which is like about 2 hours away from Charlotte. So he had his ties to the Carolinas and he kind of wanted to come try an American adventure and we needed a coach and we wanted to take a big swing. So we went and hired a Premier League manager and it's made all the difference for Charlotte. Like we have about the same level of players that we had last year, but we just have a much better coach.
Well, this is your third year in existence.
Yes.
Right? Now, this is the best start you've had in the 3 years, correct? Because the first year you missed the playoffs. Last year you made the ninth seed, which was the play-in game.
And then got beat 5-2 by Red Bulls in the play-in game.
Well, so, the Red Bulls are a pain in the ass always.
Yeah, going to a must-win at Red Bulls is never a good situation.
No, never. And then you
fucking hate the Red Bulls. Sorry,
me too. And then this year, like you said, you were fourth just not a week ago.
Yep.
You're sixth now and you're in the race.
Yep.
So this is like 3 years in, you're looking pretty sweet because on our third year, we made the playoffs also.
And we're doing it with only one DP at the moment. So we had our DPs last year were Swiderski, Josviak, and Kopety. Well, Josviak, we sent him to Spain. We sold him. Swiderski, we sent him on loan to Italy, and we were supposed to sell him. Like, everyone's like, oh, he has an auto purchase clause for his Italian club, Hellas Verona. And then that turned out to not be true. So I actually got in a big – we all – there's all this local scrap, all the local podcasts and fan casts and all fighting each other over the truth about Karol Swiderski. And I got burned on that, unfortunately, because I trusted what the GM told me, and it turned out to not be 100% true. So now people think I'm a clown because I was like, he's never, ever coming back. He's never, ever coming back. But now it looks like he actually is going to come back. You know, he's not eligible, I think, until July 20th when we play Austin would be the first game he's eligible for. But he's going to be training with the club, I believe, starting next week. So we'll see.
Okay.
And then Copetti was kind of he started the season with the team, but he always wanted to go home to Argentina, and we got a chance to sell him. And we have a really awesome young striker. I don't know if you've seen this guy, Patrick Ajimong. He's like 24 years old. He's just a really large, fast dude. He's just – and very smart. Like, he's a playmaker. He's always, like, pushing towards goal. He knows
how to –
He's American, yeah.
I didn't think he was.
Yeah, yeah. He's a son of immigrants, but he grew up in New England. And he kind of one of those – he's one of those guys that, like, it's an indictment on the whole U.S. soccer system. Because, like, if this kid would have been, like – you know how the whole pay to play thing is, like, oh, you know, if you're not,
you would have been in it earlier.
Travel teams, you know, you never get seen. And like Patrick Ajimong, he ended up going to like Central Connecticut State, I think, or like Southern Connecticut as a community college and playing for a year. And then he transferred to University of Rhode Island and played for 2 years. And he's just a goal machine. And like, he's a guy that should have been like on U.S. radar, like when he was like 15 years old. But now he's he went to MLS, the draft camp, the super draft camp, and just like blew everybody away. And Charlotte traded up to get him in the draft. And he's a really good player. He doesn't always do the right thing every time, but he always does the he's always trying to make something happen, which I really appreciate from him. A lot of the fans love him. We call him Big Pat. And he's always like his goal celebration is like to make a hand by the phone. It's like, call Pat. When you need to go, call Pat. And you know, so he's a fan favorite. And he allowed us to sort of let Copetti leave. So, and then we signed one new DP, a guy who had played for Celtic last year, Leal Abada, who's like a DP winger, super fast, just a really accomplished player, has a knack for like getting in the right spots, being on the end of crosses and things like that. But he's had a little bit of a rougher going of it in MLS. He scored 3 goals, I think. He had a brace in one game and then had another game he scored. He had an assist to Ajimong the other night. So he's finding his way. But the fact that all of that is to say that Charlotte's been doing this with one DP all season for the most part, and we're about to get Karol Swiderski back, who will sort of occupy that second DP spot. I still think we're trying to sell him on, but I see him probably now playing a couple games for us at the very least. And so it'll be interesting to see like what it's going to be like when Carol's back for real.
Like you said, he wouldn't be.
Yeah. I planted my flag on this.
He's never ever coming
back. And
hey,
now
look,
everybody hates me.
For people that watch this show, they know nobody is more stubborn than Chris himself. If he says something, he's going to stick with it. I'm going to get to Chris right now. Hammy's asking, you guys going to watch the USA game? We usually come on at 9 o'clock. We came on at 8 o'clock purposely for the USA game because we are not missing that. And Hammy also asked, where is Chris? Chris actually had something that occupied him. I thought he was going to be out the whole show, which was a disappointment, right? Because 2 year anniversary, I was hoping that the co-pilot would be here. And as it turns out, he just showed up.
Oh, he wasn't so going to miss it. Better late than never. Husband showed up for the anniversary. What's up, Chris?
Can't miss it, the 2 year anniversary.
Listen, I couldn't miss it for the world. What's going on, Brams? What's going on, Danny? Listen, work held me up, and I'm here with you guys. And yes, thank you to everybody that's wishing us a happy 2 year anniversary. This is a beautiful day, my guys.
That's it, 2 years in.
Yeah, I gave congratulations to Daniel, and let me congratulate you, Chris, as well. You know, for what you guys have done with the show, and for what Inter Miami has done as a club. You know, in that time that you guys have been broadcasting and podcasting, congratulations.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much, Danny. Much appreciated.
And real quick, just to touch on that USA comment earlier, ready to get hurt by Uruguay's press. Uruguay is extremely aggressive, and they are starting their top 11 again. They are not playing around. They want to win this game. So, good luck to us, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be tough for U.S. That loss to Panama was just absolutely unconscionable. That's a great comment from Mr. Krabs there. That's the joke I was making. Chris was a bad husband for getting the anniversary, but he showed up. You know,
I showed up. Look, I showed up. I forgot the flowers. I forgot the chocolates, Danny. I'm sorry. And you know what? Wait, while you're doing that, let me go grab one, Bobby. Hold on.
Yeah, come on, man. What are we drinking? I'm drinking a local brew. I'm drinking a Sugar Creek Brewing Company, a local Charlotte brew called this is the Path to Enlightenment IPA. So there you
This is Aguardiente. We drink this by the shots. It's Colombian. I am Colombian.
It looks like vodka.
It burns on the way down, that's for sure.
Okay.
But this is what we drink in Colombia. So this is what when I'm gonna take a shot. It's Aguardiente always. So I Chris was here, I wasn't gonna take it. Oh, you should. I should tell Chris to take one up there for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is definitely what we drink down here.
Fantastic. I love it. Colombia is looking real good in that Copa, by the way, for you know.
I don't want to get my hopes tomorrow, that big game against Brazil.
They might end up playing in Charlotte, to be honest, because we got a semifinal.
One on July 9th.
In Charlotte, yeah, on the 9th.
I know.
Yeah.
That's going to be the game. They're going to play there. Mm-hmm. If they either have to win or draw. As long as they win or draw, it's against Brazil tomorrow. They're going to play against – who was that? Oh, we find out today. Either Panama or the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And I want USA to win today, but – I hate Colombia playing against the U.S.
It's tough. Yeah, I should. I have a really nice Colombia kit that I should. I guess I should have been wearing if I would have thought about it because it's the red. I got the red 2022 shirt that I bought in honor of Kerwin Vargas, our parcero here in Charlotte FC.
This guy saying parcero, Danny. Where have you been all my life? Look at this guy. I want to go up to Charlotte now with Chris.
I got some terms, baby.
I want to party with Danny Brams. Oh, cheers. Look at this guy. All right,
I got my bottle, Danny. So let me pour it in this cup.
Ciroc, Aguardiente, and IPAs, dude. We're doing very well here tonight.
I think this is a shot, right? Or is that more than...
I think you go a little strong.
I can pour a little more. I'll pour a little more. Fuck it. You know what? Fuck it. Just the whole bottle. Might as well just fuck it. Palabinga. Right?
All right. Well, cheers to 2 years, sir.
Cheers to 2 years.
Shout out to Mitch in the comments, whose brother lives in Wake Forest. I love that. Yeah, check out Sugar Creek Brewing Company. But really, if you want to check out a Charlotte brew, I don't have any on me at the time, the moment. But Hot Fly is the name of the game. That's a former partner of our podcast. They're not official partners anymore, but we still hang out there all the time. It's an awesome brewery that's like two blocks down from the stadium. That's where I would recommend you go pregame, Chris, is Hot Fly Brewing Company. So for sure.
Well, let's get into the stadium. For those of you that have never been to Charlotte for a game, I've been to Charlotte, not for an MLS game. I went to watch the Jets play out there. I'm a Jets fan. I know I'm a piece of shit. And I went to watch them out there. I know they lost, obviously. But awesome stadium. The location is top notch. I love the fact that it's right there. You walk straight from downtown to the stadium and out of the stadium straight into downtown. Mm-hmm. My favorite experience so far going to a stadium. I mean, Atlanta's close. I love Atlanta also. And the fact that when you go up top, you have the skyline on one side. Yeah. And when you walk, turn yourself around, it's just trees. It's like a forest back there. Yeah. And it's like, it's such an odd look, but so awesome. I really like it. Charlotte's just a nice spot to go watch a game. If you guys have never been, you should definitely go out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Chris here this week, this midweek for sure.
Well, what are the ticket prices looking like? I know if Messi would have played, it would have been crazy, but
yeah.
I'll tell you,
he knows better than me. I was trying to find you some cheap tickets, Chris, and I couldn't. My bad on that one. Yeah,
it's all good. Look,
don't feel bad. Chris is a scumbag. If it's not free, he's not happy. So you could have never found anything cheap enough for him.
I ended up getting some good tickets at a decent price right behind the goal, because that's where we have our season tickets here in Miami, Brams, is that my son wanted to see it from the same perspective. So
yeah,
I ended
you
up
get getting, that tactical view, you know? It's beautiful.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, when I shopped for tickets, they're actually more expensive now than they were earlier this week. So I thought that the prices were going to drop. But I've actually been seeing some of the prices increase. Now, you can still get seats for like $30,
yeah,
right?
Not too bad. Like,
it's a huge stadium.
Yeah, you can still get seats for $30, but prices have increased. So, like, if you want, like, lower bowl, the prices have been going up, like, $10, $20, $30, $40, depending on the seats.
Do they open up the upper deck usually?
It's only for a, like maybe six or seven games per year, which they definitely would have. If Messi was coming, the upper deck would absolutely. Be open.
Of course, sure. you have to.
But yeah, right. yeah, not even close. But they opened it for Nashville. I think there's a couple others they opened it for. I think they'll open it for Atlanta. So sort of the rivalry games and things like that. I would say that the reason prices might be going up this week is due to the holiday. And maybe people being like, hey, you know, I got nothing else going on. Might as well go to the game.
Yeah. I want to go back to that Mitch comment here. Okay. Ciroc, Chris, what is this 2020? Listen, for those of you who don't know, or 2010, for those of you who don't know, Ciroc is probably the smoothest vodka I've ever drank in my whole life. I would live and die with Ciroc vodka. I literally have like two or three other bottles of Ciroc vodka.
I'd rather have Grey Goose.
Grey Goose is like overpriced for no reason. Get this.
It's and smoother than Ciroc.
Absolutely not. You're wrong. Next.
I love it. What a battle.
All right. All right. So
it's over, though.
And there you go. And this is another point right here.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know if you want to add it.
You got that Diddy tank on it. You know?
You guys can keep canceling it. I'll buy them at like $5.99. I'm totally cool with that. Go ahead and cancel Diddy. I'll keep buying this shit for like $3.
Might as well.
I'm good with
Diddy,
it.
Diddy canceled himself. No one's canceling Diddy except Diddy, you know? Yeah.
As long as it makes the prices better, I'm good with that.
So one quick thing. On this show, before the Miami finally lost with Messi against Atlanta, we would constantly say, Miami doesn't lose with Messi. Like that's, we just always said it. But we would always have to add a caveat. Except that last game of the season in Charlotte where nothing mattered and he just walked around.
Yeah.
Right? Because we didn't think that he took it that seriously. He kind of just went out there to appease the fans. But regardless, that technically was the first loss for Messi as a starter for Inter Miami. So we are winless in Charlotte. I don't know if we won that first year you guys were there. But last year we did it. So that now we go into this season. You guys are looking much better. How have you guys looked overall as far as what you expected? Have you guys overachieved or underachieved from like what you were like expecting preseason?
So just to answer your other question, Charlotte did win 1-0 at home against Miami in 2022. Oh, so
we've never won there.
Season. Yeah. So you've never won here. Okay. Messi did make my heart stop a couple times in that match. Even though he was just walking around, he did have a couple of nice chances created that just didn't come off. He had some passes that absolutely could have led to goals. We needed that win to get into the playoffs.
The ninth seed.
Yeah, exactly. Which was ultimately, you can see my little playoff banner there over my right shoulder.
There you go.
You know, yeah, like it was nice to be in the playoffs. And a little painting of our captain Ashley Westwood there. It was nice to be in the playoffs, but it was kind of a really stupid night. The playoff happened. As far as this year and expectations, I would say expectations were pretty high with Dean Smith and the fact that we started the year thinking like Copetti and Swiderski, because Swiderski was loaned out to Italy like right at the end of preseason camp.
Okay.
Copetti started the season with us, but, you know, then he got hurt. And then by the time he finally got back from being hurt, he was pretty much almost sold at that point. He scored – so Copetti scored his first goal for the team for Charlotte. And he did a big like shush to the fans, and he was like basically telling his own fans to shut the F up because we were had been criticizing him so much. And then literally like 2 days later, he was like sold to Argentina. So it was kind of crazy. So in terms of the top production of the roster, it's been a big disappointment. I would say it's been a disappointment. But the reason that Charlotte FC is doing better than they ever have in their 3-year history of a club, and that we're higher up in the table and just more points at this point in the season than in our first three seasons, is because of unexpected success and like guys lower in the roster outperforming their expectations. And I'm talking about a guy like Andrew Privet, who's a young center back. He's a college player. He played at Penn State University, and he was a defensive midfielder in college, and he was converted to a center back. He's had an absolutely awesome season as a center back. Our two fullbacks, Nathan Byrne and Jere Jurinen, an Englishman and a Finnish guy, have definitely like found roles and just like they're such a tight unit. Dean Smith, our coach, has a thing. He said this in the preseason. He's like, I told my defenders, I told the back line, for every clean sheet they keep, I'll buy them a bottle of wine. And we have the most clean sheets in the league. So he's like, he's basically like buying wine by the case right now so he can pay off this promise. So the defense has really stepped up. We've seen guys like Ashley Westwood, our captain, who's one of the older players in the league. He's second. He's probably not anymore because he finally missed a game against Houston. He was suspended for yellow card accumulation. But before that Houston game, he was second in the league for distance covered in all of MLS. And Cole Bassett for Colorado, who's like 23 years old, right, was number one. Westwood's 32 years old, and like he's like covering all this ground and all that. So it's been really nice to see Westwood. Ajimong, I mentioned earlier, but I think before Chris got on, Patrick Ajimong, our young striker, who also came out of the college ranks, has really just been dominant at times. He's looked a little raw at times, but he's also looked really dominant at times. So I would say the reason that we're doing better than expectations overall is because of unexpected players stepping up to the moment. But we're kind of – our upside is lower than it could be because the guys who are like the most talented, you know, right on paper have not really delivered.
You guys have allowed the second least amount of goals all season.
Yeah. Yes. And that's our goalkeeper has made some insane saves. And like I mentioned off the top, Daniel, it's the organization that Dean Smith has brought and just like simplifying things. Like,
Chris, is there a better name to coach a team in the Carolinas than Dean Smith?
Oh, yeah. It's like, so
how
funny.
Perfect is that?
He had all the jokes like ready to go, like on the tee. Like when he got here, he's like,
"Oh, he recognized me."
I showed up in North Carolina. I saw they already had a highway named after me. I figured I was doing pretty good, you know. Like he definitely embraces the whole Dean Smith thing for sure.
And for those, because we have a lot of people that are from other countries and stuff. For those that don't know, Dean Smith was a coach for North Carolina, which is one of the more famous college basketball schools in the country. He coached Michael Jordan. And yes, Dean Smith is big in the Carolinas.
His name is legendary in the Carolinas.
100%.
The club to hire a guy named Dean Smith was a very fortuitous coincidence.
Yes. So just wanted to make sure I let everybody in on what I was talking about.
Now, Danny, before you bring up your next point, Danny, I wanted to ask Danny Brams here. Because you guys sort of in the last couple games – you've been doing pretty well. I mean, after the Rebels game, you guys won, you tied, and then obviously you get scored on, you know, you lose 1-0 to the Houston Dynamo, which had the most annoying goal song ever by Mike Jones. And but I mean, like you guys, yeah, exactly, right? And then now the thing is, you guys have been doing fairly well. I mean, I don't know if you guys covered this before I got on, but
they've only lost twice in their last 11 games.
Yeah, yes. Man. I was looking at them and like they're up there and they're up there for a reason. No, I mean,
that's because of defense. It really is because of defense. Like a clean sheet win at home against DC where Christian Benteke, who like scores every game, didn't end up scoring. That was really nice. We really shut down DC. A comeback win on the road against Atlanta was really nice where we fell behind and were able to come back and win that 3-2. We held the Galaxy to no goals, even with Ricky Pouge, you know, playing well. Paintsil was out that game, thankfully. But, you know, we shut out Nashville, shut out Portland, we shut out Chicago. We've got a win against – we won the first game of the year against NYCFC, who's actually turned out to be a really good team.
Yeah.
You know, we played down a man against Orlando. We were up 1-0 and then had a dumb red card at like the 30-minute mark and ended up having to like play 60 minutes down a man. We even took the lead in that match but then conceded an equalizer. So, but to get a draw, even though at home against Orlando, who's not that good but is kind of on the come up a little bit, they're better recently. That was a decent result with 10 men, although it should have been a win. The Houston game just kind of sucked because like we gave up a dumb early goal and then – they just put everybody behind the ball and we were just we didn't have our captain. Westwood, who I mentioned, was not there because of this yellow card suspension.
Right.
And we just didn't have that. Our press, like we tried to press them, but it was hot. It was humid. It was tough. And they just passed around us. They just passed around us for like 80 minutes. And it was really tough. We had a couple of chances, but didn't really get the shots on target. We had some good shots, but they just weren't on target. And again, this guy, Ajimong, the thing when you watch this match, the Miami versus Charlotte match, if you haven't seen Charlotte, if you're a Miami fan, You want to watch Patrick Ajimong, and you'll see that he's so big and so powerful that the referees don't really know how to referee him. And so he gets fouled all the time, and fouls don't get called because they're like, oh, you know, like it's insane. Like, I'm sure Miami will do similar tactics where they just foul. And who's playing center back for you guys? Like, it's like
we got some big boys. I mean, Kristoff is a pretty big boy.
Yeah, he, I don't know that dude, McFay, that used to play for you guys. I feel
he's in DC.
Now, you mentioned him, and you guys typically run like a 4-2-3-1. Yes. The last time I see you guys running a different formation, I believe it was like a 4-3-3 against either Atlanta or some other team there. Do you guys typically stick with the 4-2-3-1?
So it kind of depends on the matchup. It's sometimes a 4-2-3-1 where we want to sort of be more attack minded, and it's a 4-3-3 where we need to like shut down a really good playmaker on the other team. So against Mukhtar, against Puig, against Almada, we will run the flat midfield 4-3-3. But then against a team where we feel like we're not necessarily having to worry about like one dynamic, dangerous playmaker, you know, no Messi in this game. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Ben Krem is that guy. I'm not sure. You guys can Robert.
I like him, but he's
I mean, I like Ben Krem too, for sure. I think Ben Krem's a good player. But I would expect to see the 4-2-3-1 at home against Miami and really go out and try to like take the game to the Herons, if it's up to me. But we'll see.
Well, I mean, talking tactics, right? Like, what essentially are your strengths and weaknesses?
Strengths is 100% is organization on defense and just the fact that everybody knows where they need to go to block shots, to prevent shots from getting to the keeper. The back line really knows what to do. And we got this youngster at center back named Adilson Milanda. He's a French kid. He's not going to be here next year. He will be attracting a lot of interest from European clubs over the winter as a midseason replacement out in Europe. And I'd be shocked if he is still here next summer window. We'll see, just because he's 24 years old and he's just such – he's a field general out there. He's grown – like we bought him 2 years ago and he's grown into like this role of just like – he's the backline general. I mean, he's yelling – he's the youngest guy on the back line. He's yelling at everyone, you go here, you go there. So he's just a really sharp player. He's even scored a couple of headed goals. He has a head goal and a headed assist on corners. And Adilson Milanda is the strength of our backline. Everybody in the backline is pretty good, and they know their roles, but Adilson Milanda makes it all click.
Well, and it sounds like he's like a Toto, Danny. Like he's a Toto Aviles, because we got our center back, Aviles. He's not going to be here for long, Danny.
Right.
So it sounds like he's going to be gone as well. Now, before you bring up the weakness, Danny typically has a question that he likes to ask the guests in terms of how we can be able to beat you guys.
Into the weakness. So let's say you are a degenerate, Brams. Yeah. You are a degenerate gambler.
I used to be. Not anymore.
There you go. And you put the house on this game, on Miami. But because you want to make sure that you win, you see Tata, you walk up to him, you whisper in his ear, this is how you beat Charlotte. What do you say?
You beat Charlotte just by continuing to prevent us from getting chances. Like you talk about our weakness and like what you do is you just shut down the service to the wings, because a lot of times what we're trying to do is play through the wings and then cross it in. Like our fullbacks, last year this was not the case, but this year our fullbacks play very advanced and get up in that English style for sure. So and we have Kerwin Vargas on the left, the Colombian I mentioned. We've got Liel Abada, the Israeli guy from Celtic, who is our only DP currently that will be in this match. And those guys have a lot of speed and skill, and the fullbacks overlap, and everything really comes through the wings for us attack-wise. Or if it's not built up through the wings, it's going to be long ball from the keeper or from the back line up to Ajimong, the striker I keep talking about. And a lot of times he's like a one-man offense. It's like, just get the ball to him. And people talk about hold-up strikers, you know, and things like that. Ajimong is not necessarily a hold-up striker, because he gets the ball and he's like, I want to make something happen. And he's trying to, like, take on defenders. He's trying to beat double teams. And sometimes he's successful, sometimes he's not. And most of the times he gets fouled and they don't call it, as I said. So if I'm Tata, though, I'm definitely trying to like shut down Charlotte's play through the wings, because that makes us one-dimensional where we're just trying to kick long balls to the striker. If we have buildup, it's going to come from the outside in for sure.
So that's how that's how I'm making money for my house then.
Yeah. The weakness is that we get a lot of chances, and this is a problem that I hear Dean Smith talk about all the time in press conferences, both pre and post game. We get a lot of chances, but we don't get shots on target. So we'll have like nice moves that will result in like open players having a shot, and the shots just don't get on target. It's really frustrating. We have shots, but not shots on goal. And so like the weakness is like making these chances count. And Dean Smith says all the time, he's like, I'm not worried about us missing chances. I would only be worried if we weren't getting the chances. If you keep getting the chances, then eventually they'll start to come. But it's like more than halfway through the season now, and we keep getting the chances and the goals aren't coming. So it starts to wear a little thin on my ears. I'm like, I'm tired of hearing him say that.
Yeah. For sure.
So we'll see. But that's the weakness, is like making decent chances. Like we're bad at testing keepers, I guess I would say.
I watched the Houston Charlotte game.
Okay.
And what I saw was that, like you said, your fullbacks push up so high that Houston had all that space behind them to build up the wings. Mm-hmm. And I felt like Houston was constantly just building up the wings and crossing it in, whether it be a low cross mm-hmm. or whatever it may be. And that's how they scored, and that's how they kept attacking. With Jordi Alba and Ian Frey, I feel like that's a great opportunity for Inter Miami Absolutely. To take advantage of that. I think this could be a big game for Jordi Alba. Our offense builds up the left side, I think it was like 60% of the time. Like, we are constantly depending on Jordi Alba to build up. So if your fullbacks are constantly pushing up, I think Jordi Alba is going to have a lot of space to work with back there.
I don't know if you're going to get in. Yeah, go ahead, Brams.
I don't like the idea of Jordi Alba operating in space. I'm not a fan of it. Talented, yeah.
Before we get into predictions, Danny, because everybody is starting to take notice that I'm wearing the same shirt I wore yesterday. Yes.
Yeah, they're outfit tracking you, bro. They're freaking outfit tracking you, man.
Chat does not forgive, and it does not forget.
They don't. I had my shirt like on one of the crates here behind me. So I literally
crates. Guys, what, you live in a warehouse? What is
like
this?
one of these little boxes, right? Now, whatever the little boxes, whatever. Guys, I literally got home. I just got home from work. I literally haven't even taken a crap. I haven't drank anything. Wow. This is all that I was able to drink. Okay, and this is what I was wearing. This mustard ass polo shirt, which they happen to also be destroying me on for. Saying Ciroc and a polo t-shirt. Chris is stuck in 2003, which Danny could tell you I am probably stuck in 2003.
What? 2003 would be too late. Chris is obsessed with the 90s. For those of you that did not know, Chris has an utter obsession with the 90s. And I am not – look, Chris will admit it.
I admit it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And the 90s were golden age. I can't be mad about it, yeah.
Hold on, wait, go back. Hammy says I'm rocking FUBU pants and Timberlands. I'm not rocking Tim's, but I do have a pair of Tim's in my closet, which I will demonstrate one day. Like on, do we have a TikTok, Danny? I'll do it on TikTok one day. I don't know TikTok.
We have one, but I don't think we've ever used it.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Krabs just full blown.
Do you have a pair of Jenko jeans also?
I probably do somewhere. Jenkos, wow. Yeah, I'm just gonna stay getting cooked. And Mike V, this is it right here. Mike V saying I haven't changed since yesterday. Yeah, I literally was sleeping on this chair waiting to start the episode today.
And he still managed to get here late.
Hey, I'm older. I think I'm older than both of you. I'm class of 97 in high school. So I don't just, I'm not obsessed. I'm obsessed with the 90s because I lived them. You know what I'm saying?
So, we're not that far off. We graduated in the early 2000s. Ooh, so dang. We're not that far off. Okay. All right. So I guess it's prediction time, right?
Let's go.
Oh, wait. Before we do predictions, let's put up our starting 11 just so Danny has an idea of what we're looking like, or what we think we might look like. Sure. This is how we lined up last game. Now, Busquets was starting at center back because Toto Aviles was out with a yellow card accumulations. So he'll probably be back, which would move Busquets back to CDM. Mm-hmm. So Bright probably won't start. Now, Chris, this should be the starting lineup. The only question is, does Kremaki start? Or does Robert Taylor start at left wing and they move Gomez into Kremaski's spot?
I would I would tell you that Kiremaki should sit on the bench. Gomez fills in that space, and they need to put Robert Taylor in.
Okay.
But what without a shadow of a doubt. What do I like think they'll do?
That's the only question here, because that's probably going to be the lineup right there.
I think Kiremaki is going to start because because Tata loves Kiremaki. And Ian Frey, I don't know if he's going to stay there. I mean, we still have no update on Weigon.
I think Ian Frey starts at right back again. I haven't heard anything on Weigon either. Yeah. And Brams, I don't know if you have heard about Ian Frey, but he was he got injured last year during the Cruz Azul game, which was Messi's debut game, tore his ACL. That was his third ACL tear. Jeez. He was out for almost a full year, came back two games ago, scored a header in the first like 10, 15 minutes.
He's back then in the fray. I love
it. He's back. Pun intended. And then last game, he scored again. He's been playing right back. We know him more as a center back. He's been playing right back. He has been looking great those last two games. So that is somebody to look out for. You told us somebody to look out for. We're giving you a heads up, Ian Frey. The fans love him. The fans love him. We know his story, so we're all rooting for him. And he's had a great first two games back. So Ian Frey, hopefully he can ball out on Wednesday.
And before we get to predictions, guys, if you haven't gotten your Ian F. and Frey shirt with that code down there, you get it for 20% off on batterfans.com. Okay, guys? Ian F. and Don't slip up. Years. Because I'm buying that literally once this episode finishes.
Multiple colors even. Wow, incredible.
I mean, come on. What are you guys doing?
Hey, you know, Chris, real quick. You know, I made a new intro. I made a new intro, and I saw the video from my very first episode. And a couple of things have changed from those first 2 years. One, you don't look like you're working out of a cave anymore. You have good lighting. Good thing. Second, I've gained a lot of weight. I was really slim 2 years ago. I got on the scale after I watched that. I'm over 200 pounds right now. And maybe some people think that's not that a big deal, but I'm usually in the low 180s.
I mean,
but my wife is pregnant. Now, when my wife gets pregnant, I tend to gain weight also. I am at 201 right now. I got to get on this.
Are you happy with your? Are you happy with how you feel, though? Come on, Daniel.
No, not anymore.
About the numbers.
Can I play your violin, Danny? You sound 100%. Like a piece of shit, is what you sound like.
Oh,
my God. I'm 201 pounds. Baby, baby. Get out.
Well, I'm sorry. I want to get it out of hand. Look, we've been talking about this.
I think I've actually had a little bit thinner through the face since I joined you guys last year. So who knows?
we've been talking about doing a fitness weight loss challenge, but now I actually need it for myself. So
yeah,
we'll do it, and I'm gonna win. We'll do it
for sure.
We'll do it, and I'm gonna win.
100%. I the last two pregnant. This is the third one. This is every time it doesn't fail. I always gain like 20 pounds. Yeah. So.
But let's do it after I go to Charlotte, because I'm going to destroy everybody if we do it. I'm just telling you right now, I can't lose anything in life.
Jonathan Lacey said,
yes.
Jonathan Lacey said it's a side effect from those monster drinks that we were drinking.
Yeah, we literally come with rat poison.
We did a review of the new Messi monster drinks. He has a new like Gatorade type drink.
I thought Messi only drank Michelob Ultra.
No.
Yeah, God, that's awesome. He does
the Mas Plus, is it what it's called?
Well, that is garbage. Mas garbage is what it is.
It wasn't that bad. It grew on me. Anyway, all right, prediction time.
So, Danny Brams, what do you think what's your prediction going to be for this game?
I think it's 2-0 Charlotte. I think our defense is just too good at home, especially. I don't think Gressel is that dude. I don't think Campagna is that dude. If we can keep Christian Benteke off the score sheet, we can keep Leo Campagna off the score sheet. There's no Messi to come save y'all. There's no Suarez to, you know, bite somebody's head off, pun intended again. I just think, you know, Robert Taylor has been a problem for us in the past, as you highlight the number there, Chris. But I just think Charlotte at home is a totally different animal. It really sucks that we lost to Houston at Houston, but back home, it's going to be real nice. I think that the club knows how important this match is. And I have to think that eventually, you know, getting our captain back is going to be huge after he missed the Houston match. I see goals coming. We've started to get to create more goals in the short term. It's been rough. We went through a stretch where we had like 3-0 draws in a row, and it's kind of boring soccer at times, but we scored 2 each in each of the previous 2 matches. We scored 3 against Atlanta 5 matches ago. I like Charlotte to get, you know, I think Drake Callender is prone to making big mistakes, and I think we're going to get a nice goal and a lucky goal and win 2-0.
All right. Well, let me make everybody in the chat feel even worse. You ready? In the last, Orlando ruined it. Okay. So 5 out of the last 6, because Orlando ruined it. When Orlando, the last home game you guys played was against Orlando. You guys drew 2-2.
We were down a man.
Okay. Oh, you drew 2-2. Before that game, the last 5 home games for Charlotte, all clean sheets.
Yeah. That's what we do. The defenders want that wine, man. They want Dino's Vino. You know, what can I say?
Dino's Vino. I like it.
Yeah.
So, people don't score very often in Charlotte. Orlando managed to score twice, but like you said, you were playing with 10 men. Wow. That's all right. Chris, you go first because I don't even know what to say.
I just want to say something. I don't know if I messed up my microphone here. Hold on.
No, you didn't. You're good. You're
okay,
good.
I didn't. All right, because I touched the cord, and you know how this microphone is, Danny. It's all fucked. You see, look at the disrespect that they're doing to you, Taylor. Like, this guy right here is going to score bunches on Wednesday.
Okay? He won't even start.
If he gets the start, if he gets the start, Danny Brams, I'm telling you right now, this guy's scoring 2 goals right here. This guy right here is going to carry the whole team to victory. Yeah, by himself. By himself, okay? This guy is going to be the reason for victory if he starts. I predict that we're going to win 2-1, and especially if this guy plays, forget about it. Now, if he doesn't play and Campana, I mean, somebody said it a little bit earlier. Peach has said it right here. Campana often keeps himself off the score sheet. Now, he's been doing decently well lately, but he did get injured. No, Danny? Do you remember? I don't know if I remember correctly. He did, like, get hurt. Oh, no, he ended up getting up. It was like an ankle injury on a sliding tackle. Whatever. Listen, this guy is the guy you guys need to worry about. Robert F. and Taylor.
That's not even a guy. That's just a jersey, bro.
This guy.
Black, as someone in the comments says.
Finisher.
Yeah, he scored. I think he's got at least. I think he's got 2 goals career against us, right? He definitely tends to do well against Charlotte. He definitely scored one in 2022. I'm trying to remember in 23. I'll have to look it up to be honest. But yeah, he's been dangerous for us for sure.
All right. Well, you said 2-1. I really want to predict the loss. I want to.
Wow, you want to? You're terrible.
I want, because I'm trying to be correct. I'm trying to be non-biased, and I want to say this is how I see it. I think it's going to be a 1-0 loss, but I'm going to try to believe, and I'm going to say 1-1 draw. 1-1 draw. Chris, I don't know where you're going to get 2 from. Campana can't score. It's the worst DP contract in the league, and Robert Taylor won't be starting. Julian Gressel, I told you, I've been apologizing. He's played much better, but the way that they look – Jordi Alba is my hope right there, that he takes advantage of that space that they leave behind when they push those fullbacks up, and that Jordi Alba is going to make them pay. So that's my hope, and I'll say 1-1 draw. And I'm good with that.
I'm okay with that. 1-1 draw, walk away with a draw, 1 point.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already had 9. I mean, we had 3 wins over this time without Messi, so I'm totally good with that.
Yeah, that's what another thing I think is, that it's kind of like the other shoe's going to drop. Like, you've kind of been outperforming expectations without Messi so far, and so I feel like a midweek game going on the road when you got the Cincinnati match.
When we're thinking about Cincinnati, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see.
I want to say 1-0 loss, though. No, but I'm gonna stick with the 1-1 draw.
Both sides would mostly be happy with a draw. I mean, we don't love to draw at home, but against the top team in the league, I think that it would probably be spun as a good draw. So we'll see. But
if anybody's predicting more than 2 goals, you're crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be a slog for sure. It's going to be a grindhouse, as they say, the whole match, man. For sure. So sorry,
you're telling
sorry
me I just that. Paid for a full flight tickets to go watch a slog fest.
It won't be as bad as that Houston match. That was real rough on Saturday. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. All right, so let's see. The USA Uruguay is about to get started soon. So, Chris, let's get to your battered questions before we sign off here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember if we did the shopping cart thing with Danny Brams. Do you remember anything about it? Okay.
We did not.
All right. So, Danny Brams, we're about to get a little interesting here. When I go grocery shopping, I hold my cart like a man from the front of the shopping cart. Now, Danny holds himself over in the back of the shopping cart like a weirdo. So, how do you shop when you shop with your shopping cart?
I mean, the reason there's the handle's on the back, man, you know, like, what can I say? Like I use the handle that's there. So like, and also like, I'm trying to keep everything in front of me. Like, am I just like slamming stuff behind me? Then I forget what's, I'm not looking backwards. I don't see what's in the shopping cart. I forget like how much I'm spending. Like, I like to like grab stuff, put it down in front of me. And then I've like got the whole, like a man, I can see the whole game plan in front of me. You know, like if you want to talk about a man is someone who wants to know what he's dealing with, not someone Listen. Who wants to like set it like forget shit and just like leave shit behind him and like leave a trail of destruction. You never know what's going to happen. So I appreciate what you're saying, Chris, and I'm not mad at you for doing it your way. I don't think you can crap all over people who do things like the real way, which is just, you know, use the handle and push it through. I do
we,
like
we hand- have somebody in the
A real man just carries the cart on his shoulder. Yeah, I put all my groceries on my two giant biceps, man. I just, you know.
We had a guest. We have somebody in the chat, Joe Kerr. He's not with us right now, but he said that Chris pushes his cart like a homeless person.
Right. Exactly.
Listen.
Exactly.
When I shop, I don't care about what destruction I create. I run over babies and children right. as just I go, and I just don't even look back. It's always
you know what forward. You know how big I'm of a hypocrite he is. When COVID was going on, I started going the opposite way of the arrows because it was like a foot away from the end of the. I'm not gonna go around to where I'm basically standing already. But you're ready to run over babies anyway.
If they're in my way, then that's their fault. But you got to follow the arrows.
Situational right. ethics, boys. I don't know. I'm not sure how that's going.
All right. So now let's go to go ahead.
The next one. So you got to make a really critical decision here, Danny Brams.
All right.
Okay.
He's from the 90s. Where, he needs to know.
Yeah. This is where boys become men.
Okay.
Okay. Now, here we have two groups. Which group are you siding with here?
Man, I gotta go with NSYNC, dude. They had the bangers. Oh, You know. I'm sorry, but it's gonna be me. I mean, it's gonna be me is like better than anything the Backstreet Boys ever did.
Impossible.
Oh my God. Exactly.
Impossible.
You're done, Danny. You're done, Danny. Are you gonna ask him your stupid question about Justin Timberlake? Get out of here.
But he chose Justin Timberlake. Don't know.
Well, you know, if we're talking
about that way,
we might get a little different.
I want it that way is like a cult classic. It's like in every sitcom ever, in every comedy movie ever.
It's a piece of its time for sure. I the lyrics make absolutely no sense though. Like, you know, so what can I say?
Bye 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 doesn't make sense either.
How about you stop being a hater, Danny?
How about this? I'm going to go real 90s kid on you. It's really all about New Kids on the Block, you know, as the predecessors to both of those bands. So there you go, you know. And
Chris always brings them up.
That's acceptable. Listen, they got a Wahlberg on their group. I can't hate on that.
Right.
And Hammy, by the way, I never enter through exit doors. And I look and judge everyone that enters through exit doors.
Don't sleep on Menudo also, by the way. I mean, come on. You know, let's go multicultural with these boy bands. No doubt.
There you go. Well, solid. I was thinking Proyecto Uno used to be pretty popular also. I don't know if you guys were up on Proyecto Uno.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
All right, well, Danny, as always, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. Please let everybody know where they can find you.
Thank you guys so much. I'm a co-host, the proud co-host of the Charlotte Soccer Show with my boy John Hayes. Next time, I'm going to send him in here to get in the mix with you guys for sure.